Well, Lenny, we have moved over to Packard's Restaurant here at the Innisbrook Resort. We had some fun talking to a longtime friend of ours, Doug Schmidt, about Larry Packard and his design of the four courses here. And now we're here under Packard's famed ASGCA, American Society Golf Course Architect's jacket that hang in his restaurant named for him. And this is kind of a little special place, especially for us Chicago guys that know the history of the Packards right here at Innisbrook.
Yeah, right when Larry Packard was wrapping up his Chicago stay before coming here, he may have been coming here at a time there. He was my partner in a, I believe the year was about 1978 or 9, at the opening of a very popular course in Chicago called Cantini, which his son, he didn't design this one, his son Roger did in conjunction with Andy North. But it was a treat to play with Larry. He was a good golf partner, a really a good guy, and that kind of attracted me to be a visitor here long before you were here, and not long before, but kind of now looking over the great man's jacket right there on the wall. It sure brings back a lot of good memories.
Well, Len, for the second time in our podcast series, we bring in a special guest to join us, and we're thrilled to have Mike Williams, the general manager here at Innisbrook. And Mike, I know that you probably love the entire property from the front gate to the back door, but I'm sure Packard's Restaurant is one of the places that you think is pretty special here at Innisbrook Resort.
You know, it certainly is, Roy. We have had such a tradition of Larry Packard and his impact on Innisbrook. Really, the 72 holes of golf here are a tribute to Larry. And our Copperhead course, we like to think, is his crowning achievement. The PGA Tour players just love it. We've hosted a professional, nationally televised tournament here on Mr. Packard's Copperhead course every year since 1989. The only 2 years we didn't was in the fall of 9/11, and then last year with the COVID era.
Well, Mike, last year, and we're going to call it this year, still it's supposed to be a pretty special time for this resort in its history. You were turning 50 last year. You had all sorts of special things planned. Len and I, you know, we cover the John Deere Classic and the Quad Cities. It was supposed to be the 50th anniversary of their tournament. They wiped out the tournament and said, we're going to celebrate 50 years in 2021. What have you done here at Innisbrook to sort of hopefully continue that celebration and recognize the resort's accomplishments and achievements for 50 years?
We've had to re-gear everything, obviously, with the COVID era dawning on our 50th anniversary. Ramona Harold, our director of PR, had many, many events planned to help us celebrate that 50th anniversary. Now we're going to 50 plus one, and we'll have events in November and December of 2021 that are 50 plus one at Innisbrook.
Well, one of the other great things that happens here almost every year at Innisbrook is the Valspar Championship. And, you know, there's people that watch on TV probably don't even realize all the work that goes into setting up a PGA Tour event. And here you guys were, because there was still golf going on 72 hours before Valspar week. And then all of a sudden, there was nothing. And you're here and you're ready to go. Your course is in excellent condition. And what was it like to have to be the first PGA Tour event that got canceled because of the pandemic?
Rory, it's amazing that we're sitting here almost 1 year to the day when we received the news that the PGA Tour was canceling the Valspar Championship. It was Thursday, I believe the 11th of March, when we heard that we would play the tournament without fans. Less than 24 hours later, the next day on Friday, the word came down that our tournament was canceled. At that point, the entire build had been completed. All of the concessions had been built. All the staffing was here. We even had some players on site. And it was just devastating to have the rug pulled out from under us. We completely understood that the PGA Tour had to do what they had to do. But, oh my gosh, it was just devastating for us. People ask me, how soon in advance do you start planning for a PGA tournament? And I said, the day after it ends. We literally sit down the next day and said, okay, what went right? What went wrong? what can we do to improve it next year? And we all sat here with a silly look on our face thinking, boy, what do we do now? And we immediately came up with, okay, play where the pros play. The tournament is set up. Play it inside the ropes with all of the concessions, grandstands, and hospitality tents built. But then we had to close the resort 10 days later. And it was just a year that we hope we'll never have to go through again.
Yeah. Well, Mike, you know, one of the things that golf is known for is giving back. And it seems like most of the PGA Tour events, there's a charity arm to them. How connected is Valspar within the Tampa Bay area around here? And how much money gets raised for various charities in your area that comes from Valspar Week here at Innisbrook?
You know, you're so right, Roy. The PGA Tour gives more money back to charities than any other professional sports organization. Valspar, back in 2019, the last year we had the tournament, we raised and donated in excess of $2.4 million to local area charities in the Tampa Bay area. And it has always been one of our overarching goals is to raise as much money as possible for charity. It's not going to be any different this year. That's still our goal, but we know that we're operating under some different rules. We have capacity guidelines that we have to deal with, and we want to make sure that we keep the players, the caddies, our team members, and the patrons that are going to come out to see the tournament. We need to make sure everybody's safe. That's first, charity second.
Len Zeem, I think that you managed to, in your travels, get out here to Innisbrook some years before I did, see the Valspar Championship or whatever sponsorship name it was under back in the day. But how have you seen this property evolve since your first visit here? And as you look at some of the improvements that have happened since Mike's taken over here as general manager.
Oh, it's changed a lot here. I'm trying to think, my first visit here, I believe, was for the International Network of Golf Spring Conference that was here probably, I'm guessing, 12 years ago, 10, 12 years ago?
I think so.
And you did major, major remodeling of the rooms, everything. Everything is different, but nothing has changed as far as the golf courses. I mean, they're great. They have always been top-notch. I think we hadn't really seen all of them. We're always drawn here. For it's not just for the tournament. This has been we've been here for other events. We do these travel stories and destination reports. And I was saying in our previous podcast today that I think what attracts us to Innisbrook, it's sure the golf is great, but you can do more things here than you can at most any other resort in Florida, I think. It's always intrigued me about that. Now, this particular Valspar, though, is going to be interesting for another different reason in that you got a new date. And I think this new date, I don't know how you and the folks here feel about it, but I think this is really going to be a boost. I think it's going to be a refresher. I think it's holding the tournament a little later, it's going to be the next change in episode for Len Zeem's visit to Innisbrook, and I'm really looking forward to it. I just hope they let more media in, because I've been having trouble getting into tournaments. It's hard to be a golf writer when you can't get through the gate. This is going to be fun having it when you're having it, I think. I hope you're all looking forward to it as much as me.
Well, Len, you do know they have security at the front gate here. Anyway, they must have known you were coming. You know, and I did notice the banner is down that was up a few years ago that said Rory is coming too. So somehow we still got through the front gate. But Mike, you know, if you could, just a touch on some of the things that have happened here. Destination properties are looking at different ways to attract different people. You want to keep the guest that you've had coming back year after year because there's obviously something they like and they keep returning. But at the same time, you want to attract the next audience, the younger audience, whatever you want to call it today, the millennials, the Gen Xers or something like that. You have younger couples bringing children here. It's not just, 20 guys that are here to play golf dawn to dark and then drink beer and then do it again the next day. The groups that come here, the families now that come, it's all different than it used to be.
It is very much so. And Guys, thanks so much. Lynn, thank you very much for your kind comments about Innisbrook. We have had a lot of changes that have taken place here. We have, since Salamander Hotels and Sheila Johnson acquired the resort back in 2007, a complete renovation of our guest accommodations, a complete renovation of the Copperhead course. We regrassed the North and South course in 17 and 18. So we're always in a constant state of improvement. And it allows us, Rory, to go after some of these different groups that have enjoyed Innisbrook for years and years. This year in particular, we're so grateful for those golf groups, because in spite of all of the challenges that were placed upon us on travel, on gatherings, golf withstood the onslaught. And we had guys coming down and ladies coming down for golf junkets and golf boondoggles, and more so than we've actually had in the past. Golf experienced a resurgence. If there ever was a silver lining in this horrible pandemic era, it's been golfers wanting to get out, enjoy the fresh air in a socially distanced manner, and golf has been able to provide that for them, and Innisbrook has been the beneficiary. As we come out of this, we're certainly going to be marketing our resort to those families, to the leisure guests, and hopefully to the conventions and conferences this year. But right now, golf is the hot hand, and we're feeding the hot hand.
Well, Michael, let's talk a little bit more about golf here. We've mentioned the four courses, but it seems like a lot of properties are doing a little things, some things different, adding some little improvements here and there to kind of help grow the golf operation. Some people call it a short course. Some people say it's a par three course, but we see these 9-hole and 12-hole par three courses popping up. They're great for families. You get the junior golfers out there. You get the seniors that can't play a full regulation 18 anymore. People are playing again who haven't been able to play because of age or health issues. What can you tell us about the golf operation, whether it's the practice facilities, maybe a new par three course? I don't know how much available land you have, but is there a way to still expand your golf operation beyond the four courses that you have now?
Sure. Roy, we've enjoyed such great patronage from golfers for the first 50 years here at Innisbrook. And we're constantly looking at how can we enhance the member experience, enhance the golfer, our guests' experience. We've seen the current trend of developing short courses. As we talk about that here at Innisbrook, we think about how can we deliver a product like that? Something that can be played in under an hour. Something that can be enjoyed by the novice, the beginner, as well as the low handicapper. Something that I say, you can play with a putter and a wedge in one hand, a cocktail in another, wearing flip-flops, and have a great time. We've actually started talking with some of the short course designers, Gil Hance, who did the Cradle at Pinehurst, David McClay Kidd, who did Shorties at Bandon Dunes, and Quicksand. Just to start our juices flowing on how we can develop a short course offering within the 950 acres we have here at Innisbrook.
So there is a possibility that you could create, shall we say, the Packard 9 here in honor to Larry, with maybe a short facility here in the future?
Right now it's water cooler talk, but it's gaining a lot of ground, because again, we want to be on the cutting edge of what's new and future looking for golf. While we're very pleased with the offerings we have today, a Larry's 9, a Packard's 12, whatever the case may be, could be a possibility in the future.
Well, I know for a long time, golf schools were a big thing here, especially going back some years when Jay Overton was your director of golf. I know a lot of people that would come down for his golf school when they really needed a tune-up and just said, I got to get my game back on track. Are you still running golf schools? And is it something that you could look to expand in that area of your golf operation?
Absolutely. The Golf Institute is alive and well here at Innisbrook. Dawn Mercer is our director of instruction, and she was a prodigy of Jay Overton and Lou Smithers, who started our Golf Institute back in the late 80s, early 90s. And we think that that still has a lot of appeal to golfers, both men, women, and children, who want to come down and tune up their game. Very much a big part of Innisbrook.
Well, one of the parts of Innisbrook that's been tuned up is in your rooms. They look outstanding. There's been room renovations. Lena, are you seeing those rooms for the first time since we've seen the redone kitchens and bedrooms, the big screen TVs, and, you know, new furniture from wall to wall?
Oh, you did all that? Oh, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, you know, what's been interesting for me is that I've kind of seen it progress year by year. It wasn't like it happened overnight, and it couldn't. I mean, it really couldn't. I like being here at Packard's. This is the throwback, the tradition and everything. But we've always been real comfortable with our room accommodations here. We sat out on the patio today and had our coffee while the sun came up. And that's we do that at home. And this place always felt like home to us because it's got such a Chicago, Illinois flavor to it with its history. It's a beautiful place. It's always been a beautiful place, and I'm sure it's going to stay that way.
Well, and I believe that one of the courses at Eagle Ridge was a Packard design, and you probably saw him and his work in Illinois even before you get here. So would Illinois golfers that have played Packard courses in Illinois get down here and take a look at things and maybe get a little feel for the Packard touch?
Well, you know, I think they'd be intrigued by it. The course that you bring up in Illinois at Eagle Ridge was called the General, and it's one of the, I'm thinking it's one of the very best, certainly public courses in Illinois. It's an excellent golf course, and they've switched the nines now. I'm anxious to see just what they've done there. But that was done with Andy North and Larry Sun was involved in that one. They were the ones that put that together, and of course, Larry's son, he passed away. Roger, he passed away, I believe it was in right here.
He was a
cancer victim. So I think that it would intrigue people who may have, who play at some of the other Packard courses in Illinois. I think the best known Packard course in Illinois is the General now, and that wasn't really Larry's. But I think they'd be intrigued to come out and see the similarity. And there are similarities and differences just by the Packard name.
Well, Mike, the golf boom hit on the back end of last summer when people were allowed and to get more outside and realized it was something that they could do. I know it can get hot here in Florida in the summer, and some people say that's not always the busiest time. But did you see a golf resurgence here as summer went into fall? And how crowded have you been in your golf operation?
Roy, it's amazing. As we reopened the resort, we were the beneficiary of the interest in golf. Our members certainly enjoyed getting out, but we saw so many of the golf groups that we typically don't see until the fall start coming down in the summertime. Many of their courses at home were either restricted because of COVID were closed because of COVID, and we opened in a very socially distant manner, in a safe manner, so that everyone could enjoy the game here at Innisbrook without fear of infection. And I think we pulled it off well. Since we reopened in July, month over month, we were seeing golf gains in overall golf revenue from the previous year. And that has continued to hold true. Even today, as we sit with, you know, we're still in the throes of COVID, let's face it. We're still exceeding our previous year from a golf revenue standpoint. And we thank God for it because, like I said earlier, the golfers are keeping us going right now. We feed the hot hand.
Well, that is probably one of the keys to business. You know, we Ramona Harold, your PR person, a little earlier, and she says, you know, we've always been a great spot for weddings. And maybe a lot of people don't know about that. And, of course, from talking to Doug Schmidt in our other episode of our podcast, Innisbrook has had a great reputation for being a leader in business conferencing. And it seems like it might take a little while for that aspect of the business to kind of get back to where it was. But for now, golf is the long driver out there. You know, can you give us a little bit of the overview on how you hope as more people get vaccinated and the pandemic starts to get behind us, how you sort of want to grow back? The new normal might look a little bit like the old normal.
I think it will. And listen, I'm the eternal optimist. I think we have turned the corner, and while we still need to be prudent and keep our safeguards up, we do see weddings, brides that postponed their events from a year ago, conducting them now. We had two weddings here this past weekend. Innisbrook is so fortunate because we have so many venues on property, be it in ballrooms, out behind our beautiful spa, or by lakeside and golf courses that are perfect for weddings. We've also seen so many of our convention groups that that had to cancel their events last year, have pushed them off into future years, be it the fall of 21 or the spring of 22. And so we know that's going to come back. We just have to continue to see good things happening with vaccinations, good things happening with hospitalizations dropping, infection rates dropping, and so that consumer confidence and corporate confidence can return. And Innisbrook will be back. We have too many nice things to offer to the travelers for them not to come back.
Mike, I got to ask you about some of those things to offer. You know, the golf group, again, as we talked about a little bit earlier, the wife may not play golf, but of course, with women being a large growing participant now in golf, sometimes it might be the husband that doesn't play golf. You know, maybe the kids don't, and different resorts are looking at things different way to do when you're done for the day at the golf course. For those who still need a little wagering action, they might have a casino, or they might have a spa. It's the pools. It's the different things you touched briefly. Tell us a little bit about the spa, because even for somebody like myself who's been here a few times, I've still never seen the spa.
We have to remedy that, Roy. You got to get in there. When Sheila Johnson acquired the resort in 2007, she recognized the need for us to have a world-class spa. And she went about designing and building one. And today, our Salamander Spa has been voted number one, two, or three in the Tampa Bay area, oh gosh, for the last 5 or 6 years in a row. It's a wonderful experience, full-service spa for massages, for facials, for manicure pedicures, hair salons, and all different types of very relaxing treatments in a world-class environment. But that's just one of the things that we can do here other than golf. We have a tennis center that is equal to, better than anything that's on the West Coast. 11 clay courts. Joe Mattingly, our director of tennis, has introduced so many different programs, schools, clinics, that we've seen a resurgence in our tennis membership and overall tennis activity. We have six swimming pools here, highlighted by the Loch Ness Pool. It's our water theme park that mom, dad, and the kids just enjoy. So whether they're here for a convention, they're here for a leisure weekend, or a golf junket, there's something for everyone here.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Speaking of here, right now we are here in Packard's restaurant. We have talked a little bit about Larry Packard and his golf history and being a golf architect and designing the four courses here at the resort. But this restaurant that's got his name on it, I'm going to just say it's not to knock anything else here, but it's kind of your flagship restaurant on the property. Tell us a little bit about what people get when they walk into Packard's restaurant here at Innisbrook.
Well, you know, Roy, Len, Mr. Packard enjoyed a good steak as much as anyone.
And a Chicago tradition.
A Chicago tradition. There you go. We have put forth, I think, one of the best steakhouses here in the Tampa Bay area. We do serve all different cuts of fresh-aged steak. But we also have so many great seafood offerings. Being as we're only, you know, less than a mile from the Gulf of Mexico, we have freshly caught seafood each day here at Packard's that complements our steak offering. It's a member favorite, it's a local's favorite, and our guests certainly enjoy it when they come here to play golf or to spend a vacation.
Well, I know Len Zima is over there wanting to know more about the beer and wine list, right? Right, Len? Any questions on food and beverage for Mike?
You're drawing out all my weaknesses and sins, as there are plenty of those. There are plenty of those. But no, the steakhouse here is something, it's a must stop. It's a must stop every time you come here, whether you hit the golf ball, whatever you want to do. You want to stay here and go visit Tampa. That's not a bad way to spend the time either. But Packard just sets the tone for everything, and it's one of my favorite restaurants in Florida, anywhere for that matter.
Well, Mike, I guess finally in closing, you know, a lot of things in society and not just destination properties or whatever, things have been put on hold until we work through the pandemic. Were there any projects, any improvements, anything here about the resort that was, other than the Valspar Championship, that was put on hold because of the pandemic that you're starting to look forward to getting back at and reapproaching as we move forward here in the months ahead to, you know, make Innisbrook even a better place than it is now?
Roy, you know, interesting that you mentioned that, because as we looked at a slowdown in all of the other areas of our business, we focused on golf and saying, this is what is desired by our guests and by our members today. What can we do to improve our golf offering, even at a time when everybody else is cutting back? We overseeded all four of our courses this year. We hadn't done that in a while. It was a change in strategy that we think has paid off well. The courses look beautiful. They're lush, they're firm, they're consistent. We had to struggle and really challenge ourselves with how are we going to, from an agronomy practice, keep Copperhead in great shape, being 5 or 6 weeks later than we typically have. And we've been working very closely with the PGA Tour agronomist to make sure that Copperhead is in top-notch shape 5 or 6 weeks later than we typically would hold the tournament. So that has had some different changes that we've had to alter. We do it all in concert with the PGA Tour agronomist. He was here on Monday and said that the course has never looked better, that if we had to, we could play the tournament here today. And we're determined to keep it that way for the next 6 weeks and 6 weeks beyond that, so that our guests can enjoy it just like the PGA Tour players do.
Mike, I can say for our group that played Copperhead this morning, and we felt like we were the first people who played the course all year. The greens are in that great a condition. And I know some of the organizations in golf that Len and I are involved with, and when you looked at the PGA merchandise show and they tried to sell their virtual product by saying, hey, you don't even need to come to Florida. You can just stay at your house. Don't bother coming to Florida. Well, for those of us who are here at Innisbrook, we say, why not Innisbrook? Why not Florida? It's a great place to go. Mike Williams, thanks for joining us here. It's great to be back at Innisbrook as always. And Len and I have seen all the precautions here in place. So when you're ready to travel, come to Innisbrook. It's a not only a fun place to go to these days, it's also a safe place to go to. And that's it for Zeman Spears Podcast Series 2021, Volume 8. We'll be back with Volume 9 before too long.